Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing great. It's always good after a W, right? Doing good. Great day. Great Sunday.
W against the W's. It's a double win, right? Nah, it only counts as one win, unfortunately.
Hey, we'll take it any way we can get it.
So the Green Bay Packers at home defeat the Washington football team 24-10. The Packers scored in every quarter, so that's nice to see. Only one scoring drive in each quarter. You'd like to see more of that. But overall, I think one of their more dominant wins of the season, really. I know Washington kind of kept it interesting, but that game kind of seemed in hand, especially going into halftime. But certainly halfway through the third quarter, that game felt like the Packers had won it.
Yeah, such a weird game again. Like, yeah, when you look at it, take the score out of it, it looked like Green Bay, you know, controlled early, you know, Washington's front line looked good on defense, but you know, it looks like the Green Bay was a superior team, but for some clunky things, Washington's kept it. They stayed around, and man, we should have had a lot more than 24, but we played time of possession and they should have just some weird calls and some weird penalties and some weird plays. It was a weird game. I guess weird's my word today. It was weird.
Weird Washington win. It was wild.
You're right. There you go.
Well, win against Washington. Washington didn't win. They're 2-5. Packers moved to 6-1. And I guess start with the time of possession. We're going to eat up most of the clock of this episode probably talking about this. But long drives, like right off the bat, Packers, opening drive, they get the ball. They go down, take up basically half of the first quarter and score a touchdown. That was about as dominant offensively as you could get. And that front for Washington seemed like they were a little caught off guard at first. But that was it about for that, because it seems like the rest of the game, that front four was really coming alive. Basically at every spot except for whoever was against Elgton Jenkins. That was the one offensive lineman who you see, like, the Washington had three sacks and none of them were ever from whoever was Jenkins was blocking. So Jenkins is doing what we expect him to, but this was a really tough front to go against.
Like we said, you know, Jonathan Allen's the man. He's a man, and he was problems up the middle. They have good edge rushers, no doubt, Sweat and Chase Young, but Jonathan Allen was a handful. Trust it. I mean, we didn't even run the ball anymore which was weird. You know, you'd think we'd have ran more, but we just gave up trying to run into the teeth of that defense. So, yeah, respect there. They're good. Their front four is good.
Honestly, I disagree. I felt there were too many times where they were still running on first down too much. Like, that was, once that became apparent, they really needed to stop running on first down altogether. Run on second down when they're less expecting it. But there's a couple times where drives would start, run up the middle, no gain on first down. Like, that was annoying me a little. I felt they actually should have stopped running. They ran too much, in my opinion, just because what was working was through the pass. Like, they really had no answer for Aaron Rodgers at all. So, I know, like, talking about the long drives, the Washington themselves had a really long drive. That was, I'm looking here on the ESPN play-by-play, 6 minutes and 38 seconds in the third quarter. And this was the one where they failed to score on the goal line. I guess there's a couple of those, but the one where Heinicke really should have had it on third down and didn't, you know, knee down just before he got in and then couldn't get in on fourth down. That drive took up a while, and then immediately after that, the Packers from their own end zone, I was really surprised that they ran it with A.J. Dillon on first down there. I thought, who do you trust more to get the ball out of the end zone? I think it has to be Rodgers. I know you want to avoid sacks, and I guess a couple plays later he almost did get sacked, but again, almost being the key word, he didn't. So I just felt like, put yourself in a better situation on second down by passing on that play, but I felt they should have done that more throughout the game.
Okay, so I agree with you, like, when you look at the numbers, Aaron Jones, 6 carries, you know, A.J. Dillon, 3 carries, even though he fumbled. So that's why he lost 3 more carries to Hill. But like you're saying, these long drives and how it was clunky and weird, it made sense. We only had 15 carries in the game, counting Aaron Rodgers. But I guess, like you're saying, the runs up the middle were frustrating because there was nothing there. But then you did the end around to ESB. St. Brown, and it worked. Hey, we finally actually did the motion and actually handed the ball off. One of Jones's runs was to the outside. It worked. You know, I'm like, okay, well, that's working. Why don't we try that? But yeah, the frustrating runs were, hey, let's do the inside zone. It's just not working against this defense. It's just not going to work against this defense. So that's where it was frustrating for me. And I agree 100%. Backed up in the end zone, I'm like, do a quick pass with Rodgers, get this thing out of here. And then second down, you know, work something. I did not like running out of that end zone because I was more concerned that Dylan wasn't going to get out of the end zone. So thank God that didn't happen.
Honestly, you're right, Jesse. Weird is a nice way to put that for the second half, really. The entirety of the second half was quite strange. I guess the first half, it was weird in the sense that it flew by, right? Like, I mean, again, that opening drive by the Packers was long. Washington, like, I think by the end of the first quarter, there were three full possessions, and then Washington was in the midst of their drive when the first quarter ended. And I mean, touchdown to start. Which, by the way, I thought Stokes played pretty well, even though he allowed the touchdown to McLaurin. But, man, McLaurin played a heck of a game. And that was a really difficult assignment. And it was one where they didn't just focus on Stokes on him. Right? You noticed, okay, they were going to kind of let it play the sides of the field, right? I mean, Chandon Sullivan took whoever was in the slot. If that meant McLaurin, then he was covering McLaurin. So, you know, really great catch by McLaurin to get the touchdown there to make it 7-7 after two possessions. And it kind of seemed like, oh, this could be one of those games where, hey, maybe I was right about 50 points for the Packers. Washington might get 30 themselves, but it seemed like it'd be high scoring. And then the defenses seemed to really settle in after those initial two drives.
Yeah, a lot of bend but don't break, right? You look at the numbers, which it's even surprising. Washington actually won the time of possession. But you look at it, you know, they had yardage, but it was bend but don't break. They got down the red zone three times. Hey, Packers, 15 red zone trips before this game, 15 touchdowns. Well, they righted that ship with a little bit of help, obviously, but 0-3 touchdown-wise this game. And I can't say enough about Aric Stokes. Yeah, you know, he gave up that touchdown early. This kid does not get rattled, and he does not make the same mistakes again. And that was a hell of a play. First of all, we should have just sacked Heinicke, and that would never happened. He threw up a 50-50 ball. Just a weird spot for Stokes. You know, I guarantee he'd tell you he should have picked that off. But it just got in there against a really good receiver. But then he comes back, and on fourth down makes a play. On a third down makes a play. This kid is going to be really dang good because – it did not. A lot of guys, you could break them and you could attack them the rest of the game. This guy got better after that happened. It was awesome to see how, like, okay, you got me, you're not going to get me again. So, and yeah, you know, McLaurin, he had a day, right? Like we talked about him, he had a day, but it wasn't like he just picked on one guy. We just couldn't figure him out, and he could have had more.
Just to go back to more strangeness or more kind of mirroring, right? Again, so touchdown, Packers punt, and then two missed field goals, or technically blocked, right? I mean, Crosby's was straight up blocked. Technically, they're crediting the Washington field goal as a missed field goal, but, like, I don't know who that was that tipped it. Was it Kiki? It looked like it was either Kiki Kingsley or
Slayton, they said, got on it. Yeah.
Okay. I know Kiki had a hand up too. Like, it was close for either of them to block it. But yeah. So that was strange to see both teams block field goals, essentially. And then, turnover on downs for Washington, which happened a few times. They really good fourth down defense for the Packers in this game. That was something that not as weak as the red zone defense, but certainly was tested today, and they managed really well. And then, I guess the classic Packers ending to a half, right? I mean, they didn't get the ball to start the second half, but quick drive at the end, the first half, to score the touchdown. Alan Lazard, really key on that drive, didn't do much else the rest of the day. But, I mean, even when he's not catching the ball, I still think he's the second best Packers receiver that they have. Does everything blocking well and runs his routes good. And, you know, on that drive, when it was needed, he came up with a bunch of catches and the touchdown ultimately took the lead that the Packers never relinquished. But got to say that the hurry up offense worked well for the Packers. It also worked well for Washington later in the game too. So that may be something that for the Packers to clean up, but that is so tough on the defense, right? I mean, you can't rotate guys, they get tired, but that's something just to kind of watch out for in the future.
So you look at the defense, and you know, I was talking to my brother and stuff about this, and we're watching this. I'm like, you know, but we're only giving up 10 points. Like, they're not getting in the end zone. You know, there's a little bend but don't break. The pressure was there, but they weren't finishing again. It's just so weird. Like, I mean, Gary's in the backfield, like, literally every play. Hey, guess what? We had Kiki sightings today, sack and a half. But he could have had, like, three or four. Dean Lowry had a hell of a game. You know, they're getting in the backfield, and just somehow, some way, he, like, just squeaked out of there and then made a play, right? So it's like, we're there. We're just, it's not coming together yet. And eventually, this stuff's going to start working in our favor. And we did see, you know, there was a sack fumble. How many times did the ball go on the ground today? It wasn't even wet. Like, holy crap. The ball was on the ground from both sides way too much. And the Packers seemed to land on it every time. And then somehow Washington got it back. So I don't know. Maybe it's just getting close to Halloween or something like that, because this game was so weird. Weird.
Like, the ball itself was afraid, right? I don't want to be here. Let me leave. Fearful football aside, I thought, again, for the Packers, the one thing about coaching play calling I didn't like was just a little too much running on first down, especially, as you mentioned, running up the middle if you designed outside runs. More of those jet sweep end arounds. Like, it worked for ESB. Didn't he get the first down on it? And then they didn't play it again the rest of the game.
Right. Yeah, it was weird. So yeah, they came out where we haven't seen a lot of play action all year. I mean, you saw some, but, you know, this offense is about motion and play action. And Matt LaFleur said last week, you know, we haven't been doing a lot of stuff because, hey, we've been juggling our O-line. So we've been, you know, Robert Tonyan wasn't getting involved. So this week against a good front who doesn't blitz a lot, hey, we involved Tonyan. And then we did a lot of play action. And then, hey, we did a motion and it worked. And then we stopped doing it. Okay, why'd you stop doing that? But I don't know. It was, I'm not going to say the W word again. It just, there's a lot of, I don't think we were playing like scared, but like we would do something and then it was like we're not trying to show too much or we're not trying to try something different. So maybe they're just thinking short week. I don't know, because I think they were comfortable with our team and we weren't threatened. And that's not to rip on Washington. I just think that Green Bay felt pretty good. So they didn't do anything crazy, if that makes sense.
They don't want it. They're saving all that for Arizona on Thursday kind of thing. Like, they don't want to show anything on tape that Arizona can use. Like, they're really going to keep it close to the chest for this game. And it, like, maybe that was one, if it was close in the third, fourth quarter, okay, then we'll pull out all the stops. We'll show some stuff then to get the win, because you got to get every win. But it, you know, again, once it got like halfway through the third quarter, really watched it not scoring on that touchdown drive that, or that should have been touchdown drive. And they got right to the one, that really kind of cemented it as, okay, the Packers are going to win this game. I think that's kind of where it really turned. And yeah, they still needed to play, you know, a quarter and a half and played it fairly well. But kudos, like, played really well. Kudos to some of the defensive backs on one drive in particular. It was, again, fourth down defense, but Washington had turnover on downs after the blocked field goal. There was on third down and fourth down, Savage, perfectly timed hit on McKissick, which happened a couple times in that game. Poor JD McKissick. He took a couple hard licks from Savage, but one to break up the pass on third down. And then on fourth down, Stokes comes in and breaks up the pass on McLaurin. That was an incredible play for the rookie. When you're talking about that, like the short memory, he wasn't scared on that one to you know, make a play on the ball and be aggressive as opposed to go for the tackle. I know it cost him on the touchdown before, but it didn't matter. And that was such a huge play at the game at that point. Turnover on downs, and guess what? Packers get the ball back, touchdown, and again, as I mentioned, took the lead that they never relented. So, like, really clutch defensive drive there. I gotta say, though, on the Packers 27, they could have kicked the field goal to take the lead, but I kind of expected them to, but, like, kudos to Ron Rivera for going for it there, because, like, the way the Packers defense is playing, like, test them, right? Make them make the stop, and you know, for our sake, thankfully they did, but that was, I kind of liked Rivera's aggressiveness there. I've always really liked Rivera as a head coach. I do think he's one of the better head coaches in the NFL, and kind of showed it here. And you know, Heinicke, undrafted guy, but they're not limiting him at all. And he's played, I thought he played pretty well, to be honest, in spite of the great defense. Because I think both defensive lines kind of dominated the matchup on either side, really.
Yeah, I agree. Ron Rivera, nothing but respect for the guy. I lived down here in North Carolina, and when he was here with the Panthers, awesome dude. Just hear him and what he does. Great defensive-minded coach. Good coach. And I wish they would have kicked field goals, really, because I'm like, oh, crap, because fourth and short, you know, that has always been the Packers' problem, right? But, yeah, they're a team with nothing to lose in a division behind Dallas on the road. They know they're not going to score a lot of points. It's still close. Why the hell not? Go for it. So I love the play calls. It just didn't work. Granted, you know, it didn't work because the Packers stepped up and we made some plays, or just, you know, whatever. But I don't disagree with the play call. I don't think it's the wrong call. I agree with you. I think you have to be aggressive there, just like the Packers are aggressive early, too. I mean, we could have took the three and they're like, oh, heck no, we're going to go for it. You know, when you feel it, right? So, and that's what makes the game fun. You know, 10 years ago, everybody's kicking and not looking at the analytics that way. So it's good to see that these guys are being aggressive, and it looks even better when it didn't work out for the opponents, obviously.
I actually thought the Packers should have kicked it, to be honest. I'm like, why are we not kicking this? Take the lead. But yeah, I was proven wrong. So kudos to the floor there.
Right. Just sometimes when you feel it, right? Yeah, of course, if it went the other way, you know, Packer Nation would lay it on them, but it worked out. So I'd rather be wrong and, you know, it saying not to go for it. So, yeah, whatever, it worked.
Two things that going into this game we knew were pretty awful and needed to be fixed. And you already referenced one. It was red zone defense. And so we'll start there. Like you said, three red zone trips. Not only zero touchdowns, but 0 points allowed. Like, that was pretty impressive. And, like, to be fair, that first one, Washington really should have had it. Like, that wasn't so much on the Packers defense. That was Washington kind of messing up. And maybe specifically Heinicke should have broken the play, didn't get through, and then didn't get it on fourth down the next play after. So that was kind of more on them. But those next two, that was the Packers made their own luck on defense. Again, breaking up passes. There was a ton of that today. Like, the defensive backs are really good at timing everything and breaking up plays. And really, the bend don't break on a couple of those long drives really held through. Again, I really kudos to the Packers defense on the second and third red zone trips where I felt the defense really stepped up to stop, as opposed to just Washington messing it up on their own.
I was going to piggyback earlier talking about the D backs, because you're right. They swarmed. They were all over the place. There was even a few. You think you're talking about Savage. There's even a few where it's like, man, if he was a click quicker, that's a pick six. But yet he was everywhere. Amos was an assignment sure making plays. And then when Douglas went down, I'm like, oh, crap, you know, we're up the creek, because he made a few nice plays. That pass interference was terrible, by the way, but we're not even going to get into the refs. And then Sully comes in and looks good on the outside and comes over with a big interception. I mean, it was a gimme pick, but still, he's in perfect position. And we were just sticky today, man. I don't want to see any more injuries, but, you know, we're looking at, you know, third, fourth, fifth corners on this team, and they're competing. It's awesome. Tip my hat to all the coaches, because these guys are playing good football and they're around the ball. You know, especially when, like, our pass rush is getting there, but Heinicke uses his feet, you know, makes a little bit more time. These guys are in coverage for 5-6 seconds. And they're still around the football. That's amazing. That's why Heinicke had so many rushing yards, because the defense is downfield covering everybody so good that when he gets out of the, you know, mess that he had to get out of, he picks up big plays. So I tip my hat to the secondary. The defense played good.
Yeah, because I think I already said this, but like, Heinicke played really well. I think he's got a really bright future in the NFL. Like, this isn't just, oh, this is the only chance to start because Fitzpatrick's out. Like, I mean, if it seems like next year in the offseason, it's going to be crazy quarterback carousel, not so much with free agents, but with trades. And the teams that are left out of that, if Washington's left out, I could see them going with Heinicke next year as the starter, honestly. So I think that kid's future in the NFL is pretty bright. Yeah, like I said, great plays by the defense and some key contributions, obviously, by the Packers draft picks and the mainstay guys, but the recent acquisitions, like Rasul Douglas, right? Like, that's been a blessing for the Packers to get that right now. They need that so much. Like, they don't have to play Isaac Yiadom, right? Like, Kevin King's still out. You don't have to turn to the rookie Shamarjean Charles and force him to the outside where he's not as comfortable, right? Like so Douglas has been great for that as they kind of mend through these injuries. And then Jalen Smith, you referenced it earlier. I believe Smith was the player that almost sacked Heinicke on his touchdown. Like, that was one where he got through it. Really, he should have got to him, but, like, kudos to see Smith. You know, it was the worst play of the game for the defense. It was the only touchdown they allowed, but good to see him make an individually positive play. Would have liked to see him finish, get the sack, but, like, that's nice there. I think Merciless came in a little bit and got into that rotation, so the newcomers contributing.
Oh, big time, yeah. If Gibson doesn't pick up that block, Heinicke probably doesn't make it through this game because Jalen Smith was dead to rights. He had him. Great pickup by Gibson on that play because that could have been really bad. And then you're talking about, Merciless coming in and he was this close to, getting a few sacks, got some pressures, knocked the ball out one time. So I say every week, you look at the stats and I know we're going to have to pick a player of the game. And I look at this is a team win because nobody was like, oh my God, he did everything. You just look at it as a whole. Everybody did their part. They next man up mentality. Hey, nobody's bigger than the team. And this was a really good team win. Yeah, I wanted 40 points. Yeah, I wanted to do this. I also didn't think that we literally hold them under, 10. So good team win.
And I'll shout out to all three phases. I thought the special teams, again, we don't need them to be outstanding, but can you be average or even close to above average? I thought especially in coverage, you had Bohorquez make a few booming punts and fair catches, right? Like, this wasn't one where, okay, the kicker's out kicking everybody. Like, the coverage was getting down there. Even the punt where he landed inside the one, Equanimeous St. Brown right there. So if that ball, like, bounces towards the end zone, he can smack it out and I mean, it ends up being down at the three. So, like, incredible punt there. But really the only special teams mishap was the blocked field goal that the Packers allowed. But in a sense, you almost make up for it because they got the positive by tipping / blocking the field goal that Washington had. So great job, special teams, probably their best game overall this year from that unit.
Great point, because Matt LaFleur, before we got out here, I listened to his presser. He said, outside of the extra point and field goal kicking, which I don't know why they always allow pressure on the right-hand side, left side of the defense. He said, this is the best special teams performance since he's been a coach here. The coverage, both on kickoff and punt, was the best he's ever had. And I agree. I mean, like, you look at it, they never got past the 25 if they returned it. And then on the punt coverage is either they fair caught it or they smothered it. So knock on wood that we can build off of this because we're going to need it down the road. But we got to clean up the kicking. I mean, even Mace, that extra point, he hit the dang crossbar. So, but it's constant pressure coming off that side, which that's got to be cleaned up. But the other phases of special teams, good stuff.
All right. So now for probably the hardest segment we've ever done on this, I think Packers prime performer for week 7 here. Cause like you said, a total team victory. I'm not even sure, like, is it offense or defensive player? Again, maybe surprised that they only allowed 10 points makes it lean towards the defense, but like, I really kind of went into this without any, like, clear name in my mind. So, Jesse, do you have anyone you want to bring forward or discuss?
Oh, wow. Way to put me on the spot. Thanks. So, yeah, so Savage had a great game, I thought, but I'm not going to go with him. And, hey, this is my dude that I thought was going to have a great year, and we haven't talked about him all year. Kinsley Keke showed up today. He actually made some splash plays. He fought through blocks, 1.5 sacks, had a tackle for a loss. Hey, thanks for showing up. We're halfway through, the month of October, and this is probably his best pro game. So he's one guy, and I thought Dean Lowry played a heck of a game too. He only got half a sack, even though he might have should have got the one that Gary got. But he was around the football all day, recovered a fumble, and he was blowing up stuff too. So those would be my two guys, but I'd lean towards Keke. So I'm interested to see what you think.
Yeah, I was, Savage and Amos, I both thought played well. But if I almost thought if I was going to give it to any defensive back, it might be Sullivan. the timing of the interception, when like not just getting the pick, but when that pick happened, like that was super key. And it was also Sullivan. I mean, it was a slot receiver. I believe Humphreys came out of the slot, but it was towards the perimeter. Like he had to kind of defend it like an outside corner. So kind of outside of his comfort zone, still managed to make a great play. And then again, like he had to cover McLaurin a couple times. And I mean, I thought did a phenomenal job. So if I was going to give it to any defensive back, it would have been Sullivan. But I kind of feeling like you, like towards the defensive line. I mean, I kind of put Rashawn Gary forward last week, even though, you know, I think we both had Kenny Clark as the number one guy, but I had Gary as a close second. So I know maybe he didn't really deserve the second sack, but a two sack performance when, you know, that's been missing. But doing so with, while still getting the tackles and being a contributor in the run game. And again, like coming out of college, he was kind of just this like true edge rusher. Like he's going to rush the passer. And like there was maybe concern about how is he going to handle things in the run game. And that's been the most solid part of his game. So kudos to him for like developing that early in his career. So I would probably have said Gary. I'm looking at the stat sheet, though. Devondre Campbell, 13 tackles. And like that was like a very quiet 13 tackles. I didn't think he had that many, honestly. So
so good. He's so
I
good.
I think I would say Gary. So between Gary and Kiki, what are you thinking here? How are we going to decide this one?
Okay, so you know I'm Gary's biggest like advocate because I'm expecting this 3-4 sack game coming out soon. But yeah, he was in the backfield all day and he actually, you know, produced. So I'm so weird with this because I'm like, we're gonna pick Gary this week and then in 2 weeks he's gonna have that monster game and now we can't pick him again. So I'm fine with Gary because he probably had a bigger influence today. But I was just thinking of those other guys, so we can go with Gary. There's no problem with that, and I will also jump on you with the Campbell thing. That guy's been so good. He's been rated the number one linebacker in the NFL so far. And I'm sorry, this guy's playing as good as anybody inside. He is around the ball, a quiet 13 tackles, right? Think about that. This guy just gets it done. But yeah, Gary's cool. Let's go with Gary.
All right. So Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, back-to-back prime Packers performers and victories, 24-point victories, actually. Like, I'm looking at the Packers offense through wins. It's been pretty consistent. 35 points against Detroit, but then 30 against the 49ers, 27 against the Steelers, 25 against the Bengals, 24 against the Bears, 24 against Washington. And they mentioned it in the broadcast. And first off, shout out to, like, two games in a row having done with that crew. I think Greg Olsen's phenomenal at the commentary. He gets it. I mean, he's always been a really smart, cerebral player. So I was, you know, knowing, we've known a couple of years now that this was what he was going to do. And I was really excited for that. And, like, really fortunate that we've gotten two Packers games in a row with him. I know he was definitely highlighting the National Tight End Day, and Robert Tonyan did his best to get the touchdown. Mercedes Lewis, as always, just comes out and performs. But yeah, so kudos to that announcing crew there.
Right, yeah, I got no problem with them. I enjoy them. I hate night games in the national spotlight, which we're going to have on Thursday. So I will take Greg Olsen and company any day.
God, if I can... I think I'm really hoping Prime has the alternate broadcasts because I'll probably have to. I will watch that. I cannot stand that crew. But anyway, enough about them. More about us. You can reach us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. And Jesse, do you have any final thoughts for the listeners?
Oh, you bet. Go Pack, go. Short week. On the road, let's get it done.
Yeah, and we'll be here to preview that Thursday night Cardinals game next time on the Full Press Packers Pod.